God is good.
All the time.
So good, we need to share him with others.
Yeah.
God always works in seasons. And the last few times I've spoken on different seasons that God has taken us through. And that's really a series building up to what I want to share this morning. And so, the last two or three times I've spoken, if you haven't heard it, try and get the tapes from Paul, because today will be the result of what I've been trying to express. There are progressive seasons in God, and we've seen that we've had seasons of renewal and restoration and the recovery of the charismatic church and the spirit and all the things that God has been doing in the last 100 years or so. And then I shared on this being the season for a watershed to happen, that we've reached a crossroads where we need to choose whether we stay on the same path or whether we see what God is doing in what he wants us to do in the future. And then I shared on threshold, which is standing in the doorway of opportunity. And you have to move in faith to do that, to go through the door. And as you do it in faith, you have to leave what's behind and shut the door. And everything you face thereon, you've never ever faced before. And that's where God has got us right now, I believe. And the last time I shared on the fire of God, that God is bringing freedom to his people. There's going to be a new expression of holiness. God is taking the rubbish out of the church so that we can see clearly, so that we have a clear message. And we are anointed to be the people God wants us to be. Amen. Instead of being held back all the time by what's gone before. And all of that is building to what I want to share this morning. Because the heart of God, right from the beginning, the purpose of the church, right from the beginning, the reason Jesus came, right from the beginning, is quite simply, God wants his children back. That's the message. That's the only priority. That's our calling. That's why we're here. And so all this preparation is leading to, I believe, a season now of harvest. A season of great harvest. But it's going to be through us. Amen? And so this is part of the new threshold we're coming into. We've got to learn again what it is we're here for, and what it is and how we can go about sharing that goodness that we've sung about this morning. Now, it may seem a bit strange that in the last few years we've lost the two greatest evangelists the world has ever known, Billy Graham and now Reinhard Bonnke. And that might not make sense. But I want to ask you a question. Who is the greatest evangelist in the world today?
Jesus.
Who?
We are.
Jesus.
The The Holy Spirit is the greatest evangelist ever.
Amen.
There's no one who's ever come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit has been involved. And he still is the greatest evangelist. And so those of us who have been scared stiff of evangelism because we don't feel we've got the words or the character or the charisma, it's not about you. It's about channeling into the Holy Spirit and simply speaking what he's speaking through you. And doing what he's telling you to do. Because his work is solely to get God's kids back. And we need to see that in our hearts in a fresh way today. You see, the first time he turned up publicly, 3,000 people got saved. Not about big-named evangelists. Yes, what Dave said is true. And this is the crux of my message today. We have the greatest evangelist in the world living in us.
Hallelujah.
Living in us. We've got no excuse for not seeing people saved. We've got no excuse for not leading people to God regularly. The Holy Spirit is living in us. And if we can just grasp that, instead of putting pressure on yourself, we're going to see harvest begin. John 14:17. So the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. Everything you need to be a success in whatever God has called you to, including evangelism, you have inside through the Holy Spirit. So we want to experience the Holy Spirit in all his fullness by embracing all he is and everything he's come to do. Is that your heart? It must be. And through us, the Holy Spirit empowers us, helps us, teaches us, leads us, comforts us, gives us the spiritual gifts that we need, transforms our characters by making us more like Jesus, by imputing the fruits of the Spirit in us. But the disciples knew the crux. They not only knew the Holy Spirit in those things, they knew him as the one who made them witnesses. Witnesses. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be, it's not what you say, you will be, your whole being speaks of the goodness of God. That's why he's transforming us in holiness. Amen. Getting rid of the rubbish, the fear, the anxiety, so that we can be the goodness of God in this world. And we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Romsey, and everywhere on the earth. Do you believe that? What happens on the day of Pentecost? We are entering potentially the season of the greatest end time harvest. And we need to acknowledge that. And we need to see that's why we're here. It's the only reason you come here as a church. It's not so that you can learn about heaven. You're here to get God's kids back.
Amen.
You come to this building to get encouraged with one purpose. To get out there and live God.
Amen.
In the world. And show the goodness of God in the world. Listen to this quote from Charles Finney, one of the greatest evangelists. We have the same promise that they had. Let us accept the commission, fully consecrate ourselves and all that we are to the saving of souls, as our great and even our only life's work. Let us go to the altar with all we have and all we are and lie there persisting in prayer until we have received the enduement from on high. Wow.
Wow.
That's a goal, isn't it? See, if we do not accept the appointing that we are witnesses, that we are the ones that God will use to bring his kids back, simply this, if you don't accept the appointing, you will not have the anointing. You won't be able to do it anyway. Because you haven't accepted that commission. Accept the commission and he will equip you.
Amen.
To do what he wants to do. See, the Holy Spirit loves to lead people to Jesus. He is intimately involved in the process of salvation. In the same way as he hovered over the waters in creation, he is at work, moving unseen in the lives of those around us, wooing them to Jesus. Can you see that? He's already out there, preparing hearts. For what? For you. To speak a timely word. To show an act of kindness. To tell them about the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit has the same heart of Jesus in Luke 19:10. Jesus who came to seek and save the lost. That's our commission. We're here to seek and save the lost. Yeah, worship, intercession, all the other stuff we do is important. Discipleship's important. But the one purpose we have on this earth is to seek and save the lost. And when we've done that, the end times will come. And God will wind it up. The Holy Spirit has the same heart as the Father, who says that his desire is that no one should perish. So I want you to take a fresh look at your witnessing today. I don't even want to call it evangelism, because that scares people. Call it harvesting. Call it bringing in the harvest. So look, let's kind of up front. I want you to see that the Holy Spirit helps us in evangelism in many ways. I've just picked out four. because of tongues. Firstly, by testifying to people regarding the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is already out there working, pointing people to Jesus. Acts 5, verse 30-32. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Saviour, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. So too the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to obey him. The Holy Spirit is working in lives across the world. And he's only got one purpose. To get people in such a desperate state, or to open their eyes, or unblock their ears, whatever he has to do, so that they may see clearly a Saviour who has died for them. Amen. And so often we've preached the gospel of salvation, it's about being born again so that we can get to heaven. That's only half the gospel. The only gospel in the New Testament is the gospel of the kingdom. And the kingdom means that your life is totally, radically transformed. It's not about getting to heaven. It's about obeying the Holy Spirit, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when people see you, they see something of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
They smell something of the fragrance of Jesus. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Secondly, by confirming the gospel of the kingdom through answers to prayer. The gospel is always accompanied with signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? And we need to be looking out for those opportunities. If someone says to you, they're not feeling too well, or they've got a headache, what's your response? Oh, sorry to hear that. What about, oh, can I pray for you? I believe God can heal you. Do it. You'll be surprised what the Holy Spirit will do. Romans 15:19. This is Paul speaking. He says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel of Christ with signs and wonders and miracles. We're supernatural people. The Holy Spirit, the miracle Holy Spirit is working through us. So what a message you have. What an anointing you can bring. What a difference you can make to this desperate life. Thirdly, by bringing conviction that leads people to repentance. John 16:8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit's out there convicting people. Amen. Many of you came to Christ because you suddenly realised your life was down the path. You were involved in stuff you shouldn't have been involved in. And the Holy Spirit began to woo you and convict you and show you a different way. He's doing that all the time. You can't convict anyone. Get it into your head. You cannot save anyone. Nor can you convict them. All you need to do is find the right people the Holy Spirit has already been working on and do what he tells you to do and say what he tells you to say. And then the rest is up to him. No pressure. There is no pressure. And fourthly, by empowering Christians to be witnesses, we're back to Acts 1, verse 8. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Holy Spirit empowers ordinary Christians to be witnesses. And at the same time, he is impacting the hearts of people who need salvation, convincing them of their sin and need of salvation. See, there are two things going on. God's changing you to make you a witness, and he's changing people in the world to receive Christ. There are two preparations going on. And I believe that in this season of harvest, the two are going to meet. And then people are going to get saved. Okay, what about if you're not the gifted evangelist? Yeah, Pete, this is all very well, but, you know, I haven't got the personality. I've not got the calling to be an evangelist. You're barking up the wrong tree. The gift of evangelism, as we see it in the Bible, is for the Ephesians 4, fivefold ministries. Yes, there is a ministry of evangelism. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. And they have a special gift in those areas. But what's the purpose of those people? Not to do it themselves. They are there to equip the saints for the work of service. So a good evangelist will be training you lot and making it easy for you to go and share your faith. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, for a while, do the work of an evangelist. You need to encourage people to share their faith. Timothy was a pastor. But there obviously wasn't an evangelist where he was. So he says, for now, you do it. Stir up the gift. And so, don't confuse the ministry of evangelist to the heart of God for us all to be witnesses. Evangelism may not be your personal strength, but you have the greatest evangelist ever living in you and empowering you. He will do the work, not you. Amen?
Amen?
All you have to do is draw on him. See what he is doing. So, lastly, how can we partner with the Holy Spirit to begin to see this harvest? See, God uses all kinds of ways to bring people to Christ. The church history tells us that we've relied too much on the gifted evangelist. But if you look over the history of the church, the most effective evangelism has been, is now, and always will be, ordinary people like you and me sharing their faith and bringing people to Christ. Amen? That's where it's at. That's where it's at. And so we need to see that we have the wonderful task to work with the Holy Spirit. How can we partner with Him? Number one, be filled with the Spirit, or continually be filled with the Spirit. So you'll never lead anyone to Christ unless you're filled with the Spirit. You need to be hearing the Spirit. You need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And if you've not been filled with the Spirit, then please get someone to pray for you. It will transform your life. So you can get up in the morning then and say, "Hey, good morning, Holy Spirit. Who are you going to lead me to today? Who can I talk to?" And you'll be surprised what he says and the situations you get into. I've always said, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. That's another fine mess you've got me in. He loves getting us into that kind of mess. Secondly, acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. Allow Him to guide you. Acknowledge today. Get rid of that fear. And just say, "Hey, I've got the greatest evangelist. Are you in me? John 5:19, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus knew what it was. Loads of stories in the Bible. He didn't see the woman at the well as an adulteress. He saw her as someone who needed new life. The Holy Spirit arranged that meeting so that she could come to Christ. And the same He will do for you. If you get specific and ask, He will give you. And when you see the Holy Spirit working on someone, if you're in a coffee shop and you see someone in tears, or you're in another situation and you see someone who looks troubled, don't just walk by. The Holy Spirit will give you something to say. And then it's up to Him what comes out of that conversation. If nothing happens, don't beat yourself up. It's His responsibility, not yours, but at least you've been obedient. That's how we learn to hear the voice of the Spirit, by making mistakes. God doesn't mind that. Because sooner or later, you'll see people saved. Thirdly, recommit to doing whatever the Holy Spirit is doing. So often in this area, we have shied away from being able to speak. when we know we shouldn't, out of fear. Recommit yourself to do what he tells you to do. Fourthly, pray for those you come into contact with. See, you meet, I don't know how many people a day, but you meet loads of people every day. Start praying for them. Start praying for those people in the office. Start praying for those people you bump into regularly. Start praying for those in college or in school. Sooner or later, as you pray, God will open up a door. I've seen it so many times. Pray for the prodigals. There's not one family here who needs a family member to be saved. Are you praying for them? Pray for the prodigals. We were doing that last week. What a special word we had. They're going to come back. God's after them. You can only work if you pray. And finally, watch out for divine appointments. Amen. Those little coincidences that you bump into someone for no reason. And they say something for no reason. And it's almost as if God has put you in the same place at the same time. Well, look out. I'd say more than that. Pray for them. Pray for a divine appointment every day. Pray for a divine appointment every week. You're not going to lead people in Christ every day necessarily, you might do. Doesn't matter. But every day you can speak about the goodness of God. You can point someone in the right direction. That's a divine point. That's why we're here, beloved. No other reason. You're not here to listen to me speaking. Yeah, I want to stir you up, but it's got to happen out there for the harvest to come. Amen. So let's just respond to the word. I believe if we take this simple word, because it is a simple word, I haven't said anything new, but I want to give you a simple picture. It's the Holy Spirit, the greatest evangelist in the world. And if you obey him and do what he says, you will see a harvest. Amen? And wouldn't it be great if every one of us here this year had led at least one person? Wouldn't that be amazing? I believe it's going to be more than that if we get hold of it. See, I'm speaking to myself here because it's easy for us preachers. I've seen many thousands come to Christ, but it's been through my preaching and it's been through appeals that I've made. And God challenged me, don't you dare absolve yourself from this message. I want to see you leading individuals to Christ in your daily walk. Not just on the preaching platform. So I'm putting my hand up too. Amen? I need to change in this. I need to take the opportunities the Holy Spirit's giving. So if you would like the Holy Spirit just to begin to use you in harvest, perhaps you've been in fear, but you really love to lead someone to Christ. And you really love for the Holy Spirit to direct you. Why don't you just stand up and I want to pray for you. That's your heart. If your heart is still the heart. Those here too, you've got friends, you've got family, you've got people you see every day and you love them to come to Christ. If you want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, you stand up as well, maybe the same people. Those of you who have the prodigals, just begin to name them. Begin to name the people. Be specific. The more specific you can be in your prayers, the more likely it is to happen. And finally, if you want God to give you a divine appointment this week, reach out for it today. I believe if you're sincere, he'd give it to you. Just listen to him. He will show you the person. He'll probably cause you to bump into them physically. Father, I just pray, Lord. First of all, Lord, I want to repent personally for the times I've left evangelism to someone else. I've left sharing the gospel to those I thought were more gifted, not realizing that it's our calling, our main purpose. And you have made the Holy Spirit to dwell in us to achieve that. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with you, we pray. Holy Spirit, use every one of us, Lord, I pray. Lord, give us specific people to pray for. Give us specific people to share with. Give us specific family members to be in faith to come to you. And Father, I pray that each one of us this year will lead at least one person to know you. Reach out in faith. Take it. Thank you, Lord. You're going to do it. Thank you. I really believe it, Lord. You're going to do it. Thank you. And Lord, I pray for those divine appointments this week, that even next Sunday we can stand up and say, hey, I didn't lead them to Christ, but I had a great conversation. Well, it may be that you will lead them to Christ. And that will be an even greater cause for rejoicing. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us. You'd do it in Jesus' name.